You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There is a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for March 26, 2023. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where...
The members are reminded to abide by decorum of the House.
It's the Professional Left with Drip Glass and Blue Gal. And this week, we're going to the mats. Because there were a lot of despicable mats in the news this week. And it just seemed to fall into place that way. The first mat this week is Matt Walsh, who refers to himself as a theocratic fascist, is a horrible human being, and has 1.8 million Twitter followers. And here are some quotes from Mr. Matt Walsh. The goal is to make pride toxic for brands. If they decide to shove this garbage in our face, they should know that they'll pay a price. It won't be worth whatever they think they'll gain. First Bud Light and now Target. Our campaign is making progress. Let's keep it going. Here's the next quote. Conservatives are nice people who like to get along with others. Let that sink in for a second. This has been used against them for a long time. That's why they needed those of us who are incorrigible assholes to come along and do what they didn't have the stomach for. They complained about our methods, but now I think they're starting to understand. Last quote. I love that these people are so upset. Let's keep it going. It's shaping up to be a great Pride Month. And here's the thing. He has been plotting this since at least April. Here's his tweet from April 5th of this year. Here's what we should do. Pick a victim, gang up on it, and make an example of it. We can't boycott every woke company, or even most of them, but we can pick one, it hardly matters which, and target it with ruthless boycott campaign. Claim one scalp, then move on to the next.
And of course, the result is that Target has already caved on this because too many store employees were allegedly getting threatened. Specifically, Target pulled some LGBTQ-themed merchandise following, quote, threats impacting our team members' sense of safety and well-being while at work, unquote. Target said conservative activists have knocked down pride displays, approached workers, and posted threatening videos on social media from inside stores over its tuck-friendly women's swimsuits that allow trans women who have not had gender-affirming operations to conceal their genitalia. My understanding is that that's what swimsuits are for, is to conceal your genitalia, but... Okay.
You've never read a single copy of Maxim, have you, honey?
So. No, I have not.
Oh, okay.
The so-called customers have falsely claimed that Target is selling the tuck-friendly swimsuits to kids. The swimsuits, however, are only offered in adult sizes because we do want to conceal genitalia on children too, right?
Yeah, okay. Again.
All of it. This just emboldens extremists. And just as an aside, I want to point out that we have always, since we've been in Springfield, taken our kids to Pride.
Right. It's great. It's great.
It's a wonderful festival to go to. It's fun. And youngest child went to Pride last weekend. It was here in Springfield last weekend. Mm-hmm. I know it's not during Pride Month, but this was the way the schedule went and when the park was available, and that's when they had it. And youngest child came home and said that it was too commercial.
Yeah, man. You know, you used to be that, about the
You know, there
the
was
rainbow.
Just too much kind of real estate corporate sponsorship going on.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the same as the good old days, right?
You have arrived.
So, yeah. Well, and I think that other people have made that point, that a major corporation slapping a rainbow on something is not providing equal rights to everybody.
Absolutely not. Nope.
So, you know, this culture war is happening because it's making someone money and power.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Ben Collins over at NBC News has this exactly right. He said on Twitter, anyone falling for the extreme far right's Target backlash and framing it as a both sides debate are not doing their journalistic duty. They're repeating a harassment campaign that was telegraphed in public months ago. And as you read that tweet, we're going to pick a company and ruthlessly go after them.
Yep.
It is not your job as reporters to do both sides on this. He also noted, if the anti-trans panic playbook sounds familiar, that's because it is. This game plan is from the person who created the CRT panic.
Mm-hmm.
He laid this out months before, and the media did what they do. It became a both sides national conversation, quote unquote, with both sides of the CRT issue.
Right.
Parents versus, you know, evil black intellectuals or something. I don't know.
It's a controversy, Blue Gal. It's a controversy.
We have to report both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Collins said, they've just replaced CRT boycotts with trans boycotts, and they'll go on to the next thing. Because they're fascists.
Right. This is what they do. This is all they do.
To accumulate power.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another Matt who isn't quite as sinister and is a little bit more stupid, but just as bad. Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz saying the quiet part out loud. You know, they tend to do this.
Bless his
heart. This is from The Hill. Representative Matt Gaetz, Republican of Florida, said Tuesday that he and his conservative colleagues, quote, don't feel like we should negotiate with our hostage.
Bless his heart. Bless his heart.
On a debt limit compromise.
Yep. That's Matt Gaetz, all right. All that high forehead and no brains on the inside. At all. Just this space for rent. The third Matt this week is a guy named Matt Dornick, who you might not have heard of, but you're about to, because after Washington Post columnist and MSNBC contributor Jennifer Rubin called for the ouster of CNN chief Chris Licht over that network's catastrophic town hall with Donald Trump, one of the network's communications executives hit back in a scathing statement and added an extra week to the story. So, you know, genius move, Matt Dornick. Matt Dornick is the head of strategic communications for CNN Worldwide, and he attacked Rubin in a statement posted on Twitter, blasting the suggestion that Licht might be replaced and her calling CNN a laughingstock shameful. Quote, and with all due respect, and you know what that means, someone paid by MSNBC ought not throw stones about panelists and the hiring of former White House aides. You are entitled to your opinion, but it's reckless and offensive to label the thousands of CNN employees who work tirelessly around the world as a laughingstock because you disagree with the merits of a single event or a few high-profile decisions made by leadership. Our leadership shall not be questioned. That's not championing journalism. It's shameful. Yeah, there we go. And our fourth Matt today is Matt Schlapp. And I want you to listen carefully. I'm quoting extensively from a New York Magazine article. And listen very carefully, because what you won't hear is the most important part of this. No one in this article is complaining about Matt Schlapp's non-consensual crotch grab of another man. It's only about the money, not about the depravity of the organization or the fascism of the organization or them buddying up to strongmen or holding their conferences in the shadow of a tyrant and sucking up to them. No, it's only about money, because this is always about money. Here's the excerpt. The title is, CPAC is rocked by a resignation. A top leader in the organization that puts on CPAC, the highly influential conference of conservative leaders, resigned on Tuesday night, citing financial mysteries surrounding the organization's leader. Bob Beauprez, the longtime treasurer of the American Conservative Union, said that he was not fully informed about money being paid for Chairman Matt Schlapp's legal defense against a lawsuit accusing him of sexual assault. Quote, I cannot deliver a financial report at the upcoming board meeting with any confidence in the accuracy of the numbers, Beauprez wrote in a letter to ACU Board of Directors. Days after the Huffman lawsuit was filed, Beauprez, a former Republican congressman, because of course he is, wrote that ACU's executive committee fronted Schlapp $50,000 so he could immediately retain a lawyer. Schlapp hired Ben Chu, a prominent litigator who recently defended Johnny Depp in his lawsuit against Amber Heard. After some back and forth over who should pay future costs, Beauprez wrote he was blindsided when Schlapp told him that he had raised another $270,000 from donors to ACU and its related foundation, the ACUF. His shock grew when he said ACU's lawyers told him in February at CPAC that the money, quote, was already either dispersed or invoiced. So, no paper trail. Just money going in, money going out for Matt Schlapp's personal use. Quote, I have to admit that I feel like I'm in the dark. Beauprez told the board, I have received no further information about what additional costs have accrued since then. I assume any monies paid are either coming from Matt personally or from ACUF. But again, I don't know, and it's most unsettling. Yes, this is an accountant talking about a fascist organization. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite quote right here. However great our sympathy, Beauprez continued, we cannot, they sympathize with Matt Schlapp because everyone owes their job to him. We cannot avoid our fiduciary responsibilities. A few of us have sought answers to some of what seem to be obvious and necessary questions. As a result, we have been accused of not having Matt's back and trying to stage a leadership coup. Beauprez also detailed discrepancies in the accounts of both organizations in the aftermath of the ACU's financial director's resignation in March. Oopsie. Instead of using a certified public accountant, Beauprez said that Frank Sadler, a Republican operative with ties to Matt Schlapp, was brought in to handle the books. Oh, that's just such a good idea.
To write the checks. Yeah. That's all, right?
Just find out what we need to burn and burn it, would you? The result was what Beauprez describes as, quote, glaring, irreconcilable, unexplained differences in the work done by Sadler. Glaring, irreconcilable, unexplained differences, for an accountant to say that means it's the end of the world. Mm-hmm. He also said Schlapp refused to give any specific information about the finances of the 2023 CPAC conference held in March. In his view, the ACU is rotten throughout. Quote, and this paragraph is so weird. New hires always come in with the highest regard, but when they leave, whether by choice or get fired, they're disparaged and have suddenly become useless human refuse, Beauprez wrote, adding that employees, quote, have succumbed to professional therapists and prescription drugs.
What?
I know. No one knows how to write a sentence anymore or speak a sentence. But
what I take from that is that CPAC is such a toxic work environment.
Yeah.
That anybody that leaves gets shit on.
Yes, absolutely.
And winds up taking antidepressants or seeing therapists.
Or both.
And exactly. This is the accountant telling everybody this.
Accountants don't know how to, well, I know accountants and love them, but this particular accountant doesn't know human language. Last paragraph. Quote, a cancer has been metastasizing within the organization for years. He concluded his letter, it must be diagnosed, treated, and cured, or it will destroy ACUF. You simply cannot survive like this. I am here, this guy, he's been in this organization forever, and he is suddenly shocked that it's screwed up, that it's run as a piggy bank for a pervert, weirdo, sociopath like Matt Schlapp, who's been a horrible human being his entire life, and that we must stand up to this. We must at last diagnose and treat. And I know exactly. Come to me. Pay me a dollar. I will diagnose your organization for you tomorrow.
I was going to say, they could probably hire George Santos to be their accountant.
Oh, he'd be a great accountant. But if you really want
a great accountant for Matt Schlapp.
If you really want to diagnose, treat, and cure, I can diagnose it. The treatment and the cure are burn it to the ground.
Yeah.
Burn it to the ground and go do good works for the rest of your life to pay for your sins because you're all
Matt Schlapp got his start as one of Roger Stone's boys.
Stooges. He was, one of the people at the Brooks Brothers riot.
Right.
In Florida. Right. He's been a scumbag forever. The whole organization is. I was writing about CPAC at the beginning of my blog 18 years ago.
Yep.
It's always been a fucking freak show. And the one thing they have done right over the years or intelligently is they planted themselves like 6 miles from downtown D.C.
Right.
So
all political reporters could easily get there and show up.
And
a place with a big free parking lot and free drinks.
Yep.
Well, and that's all you need for coverage of your event.
And the pressure to get candidates there. So they could always rely on Ronald Reagan and George Bush and Dick Cheney and Donald Trump was there for years.
Yeah.
But as an organization, it is a horrible, horrible. It was a leading indicator of how deranged the Republican Party was. And everybody outside there knew it, except nobody talked about it because, money, 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 power, power. Anyway, that leads us to Big Ron DeSantis, isn't it?
Ron DeSantis had a big event. this week.
You did. I heard all about
it. Yeah, it was on Twitter, and it featured 26 minutes of severe technical difficulties. you have in our notes, I guess, Twitter Spaces isn't self-driving yet. Yes,
or
that's a good one.
It's self-aware and tried to kill itself when it, you know.
but once you got past all of the technical difficulties, of which there were many, you got many uses of the word woke and zero mentions of Donald Trump. And this was kind of funny. 8 hours before this 404 candidate not found error, this was Axios's Jim Vanderhei looking forward to this event with Elon Musk.
So excited.
Quote, Elon Musk plus Twitter equals the new king of conservative media, displacing Rupert Murdoch and Fox. Massive shift in media.
Yeah, he misspelled shit, apparently. So
now, I don't quote Matt Lewis very often, but this is a Matt show, so I'm going to quote Matt Lewis. In the Daily Beast, he pointed out that the substance of the Elon DeSantis convo focused on terms like, quote, the narrative, Bitcoin, ESGs, debanking, and elite cabals. Matt Lewis continues, this felt more like a right-wing podcast than a mainstream campaign launch. Well, of course it did.
Yeah, of course it did.
That's all Ron knows what to do is just go on Fox and repeat talking points. Mm-hmm. And then DeSantis ran to a safe space with, you know, fellow conservative sex god Trey Gowdy. And then to Trey Gowdy, he said, the woke mind virus is basically a form of cultural Marxism. He said that like 7,000 times since he was elected governor
of Florida. Cylinder Benghazi.
Uh-huh. And at the end of the day, it's an attack on the truth. And because it's a war on truth, I think we have no choice but to wage a war on woke.
Yeah. And that's straight up fascist talk.
Straight up.
Yeah, straight up.
As you said, replace woke with Jews, the Jews, and you get exactly the same kind of fascism that is much more recognizable.
And we have no choice but to wage war on them because they are going
to
destroy us.
Because they're the enemy of truth. Our truth.
So now we're going to circle back to CPAC, but we're going to circle back to CPAC by way of CNN, Jack Waltz, and David Zaslav, the chief executive officer of Warner Brothers Discovery. And this executive fear of losing face. The thing I have noticed in every dysfunctional organization I've ever been a part of in management is that once someone reaches a position of actual power near the executive top of the pyramid, where they have control over people's lives and they make real decisions and have real money, and they're just incompetent. This is true of a woman named Susan I worked for, a woman named Juliana I worked for, a man named Larry I worked for, and a man named Dave I worked for, and several other minor players. But all of these people reached a point in the organization where they were clearly not up to the job. They clearly were not competent to do the job they'd been assigned. But the people who put them in those positions could not admit that. Because once you reach the top of the pyramid, near the top of the pyramid, all you are is your reputation. And your reputation better be the biggest swinging dick on the block. You have to, you're 100% swagger. You never make a mistake. You're fucking infallible. All your decisions are genius, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the more insecure and dumb you are and bad you are at your job, the more you surround yourself with stooges who will say, no, boss, you're a genius, boss. Yeah, whatever you say, boss, that's great, boss. And that's what has happened at CNN. And the reason I bring Jack Waltz into this, if you don't know who Jack Waltz is, he's head of Waltz Studios. And if you've never heard of that, it's because it doesn't exist. It's the fictional movie studio in Godfather. And in The Godfather, he is approached to make room in a movie for a friend of the Godfather. And he explains that he can't do that because that person screwed up his starlet, a woman he was sleeping with. And he makes a very loud and clear announcement, which is very wise, actually, considering the man and his position, is a man in my position can't afford to be made to look ridiculous. And he made me look ridiculous. And that's the problem that David Zaslav has. Hiring Chris Licht at CNN was an objectively stupid idea. It was a terrible idea. Everything we've heard about Chris Licht means he's not qualified to do any of this thing. But David Zaslav put his hands on his head and blessed him and called him and said, you're now the president of CNN. And right out of the box, Chris Licht starts making horrible decisions, shuffling people around, firing people, putting on this catastrophic town hall meeting. So what's Zaslav supposed to do? He's supposed to say, I made a mistake. I fucked up. This shouldn't have happened. Of course not. He got to back his boy all the way. And what does Chris Licht do? He says, this was the greatest thing since sliced bread. This is a wonderful thing. We reach out to millions of people. And what does Matt Dornick do? My boss is a genius. He's a leader. Leadership means blah, blah, blah. How dare you, Jennifer Rubin, for writing about this? You work for MSNBC. Every dysfunctional organization I've ever been a part of has the same dynamic. That person gets to the top. They are incompetent. They make horrible decisions. No one can admit that the person at the top is making catastrophic decisions because everybody's job depends on that person. And that person, as I know from personal experience, can not only unemploy you, they can make you unemployable. They can make phone calls that destroys your career. This is what happened to me. They can threaten your mortgage. They can threaten your 401k. They can screw up your life if you tell the truth. If you simply look at the obvious fact, this person cannot do this job. And so everybody within the pyramid shuts up, except for a few of us down at the bottom who gossip among ourselves. The problem is that everyone on the outside world can see what's going on. It's not a secret. You can see what a catastrophe this is. And what happens is it goes on and on and on until it collapses. And when it collapses, you get a bunch of tell-alls and, well, you know, I knew all along this was a problem. I knew all along this was bad. But while you're in there, this is what happened to Melissa Harris Perry at MSNBC. Mm-hmm. She, you know, objected. She was fired. And I swear to God, they took her resume and put it on a pike in the cafeteria as a warning to anyone else who says anything bad about MSNBC management. Keith Olbermann only grew, you know, his outside voice once he left. And then he feels free to tell all the horror stories about what was going on inside the organization while he was there. Rachel Maddow used to rip Bill Kristol up one side and down the other until he became an MSNBC contributor. And then you never heard from her again about Bill Kristol because now he's part of the family. And we don't attack fellow members of the family. This will go on as long as there's money to be made. And until the organization collapses. And the tragedy is that sometimes the organizations are so big and so powerful and so screwed up, like the Republican Party, that the collapse threatens the actual democracy in which we live. And no one can fix it because no one can admit the problem in the Republican Party is that Donald Trump is a lunatic and a fascist and the Republican voters are scum. And they love it. They love it. They want to wreck the country and sell it off for parts because that's the only way they're going to get their 1950s dream community back. And no one can admit that because money and power. Yeah. And that's why all the Republicans fell in line behind Trump. He had the same control over their thinking and the words coming out of their mouth that Zaslav has over CNN and Licht has over CNN.
Right. Yep. Right. And I feel like we don't talk enough about the fact that Donald Trump already has 39 indictments so far.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and every time it's like it's a wonderful life. Every time he's indicted, an angel gets its wings and his approval goes up 10% among the meatheads.
Yeah. They're already planning the fundraisers for the next time he gets indicted because that's. It's fuck you to the Democrats every time you send a dollar to Donald Trump. No, it isn't.
You're owning the liberals. And you know, here we are being owned over here.
Right. They're onto us, Driftglass.
I heard.
I don't know if you know this, but they are. You might remember Candace Taylor, the Georgia gubernatorial candidate, who claimed to be, quote, the only candidate bold enough to stand up to the Luciferian cabal, Driftglass.
The Luciferian cabal?
Arian cabal. Oh. It's not Arian, Luciferian cabal.
Now, if it's Rastafarian, that could be kind of fun. No.
She's the only candidate bold enough to even say that.
Bless her.
But she's now, of course, because there's never any unemployed Republican, apparently, that reaches her level. She's been elected GOP district chair in Georgia and would like to know why Big Globe... I'm not making this up.
No.
Big Globe won't stop shoving round earth propaganda down our throats.
I had to read this story twice to make sure it wasn't The Onion.
It wasn't The Onion. Yeah. No, it's not.
This is
in an
real
interview with David Weiss, a.k.a. Flat Earth Dave, and Matt Long on her Jesus, Guns, and Babies podcast. And remember the big bus rap she had at her gubernatorial campaign? Jesus, Guns, and Babies was the theme of her campaign. So now she's got a podcast called that. Taylor and her guests discuss biblical evidence that the earth is actually flat as a pancake. The people that defend the globe don't know anything about the globe, said Weiss. If they knew a tenth of what Matt and I know about the globe, they would be flat earthers. All the globes everywhere, Taylor said later in the discussion. I turn on the TV, there's globes in the background. Everywhere there's globes. You see them all the time. It's constant. My children will be like, Mama, globe, 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 globe. They're everywhere. And it reminded you, Driftglass, of a clip of a movie that you showed me.
Yeah, The Jerk. The Jerk. Naven Johnson. He hates those cans. It's the cans. Stay away from the cans. Oh, there's cans over there, too. Run away from the cans. Yeah, she's insane. And she's a Republican. And she's a Republican Party official in fucking Georgia.
In Georgia.
Yeah.
Yep. And so she sums up, that's what they do to brainwash. For me, it's not a conspiracy. If it is real, why are you pushing so hard everywhere I go? Every store you buy a globe, there's globes everywhere. Every movie, every TV show, news media. Why? More and more, I'm like, it doesn't make sense.
Everyone knows, Blue Gal, spheres aren't real. Nothing is spherical in the universe. Everything is flat and two-dimensional. There are no spheres. Baseballs
no spheres
are flat.
At all.
No. Basketballs are flat. Everyone knows this.
Nope.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say about this other than, you know, this is when you create a party that attracts, that can only be sustained by attracting lunatics, you get lunatics. And eventually they find a place in the, they find speaking parts in the party. And that's where we get this.
She's an official in the Republican Party in Georgia. I want to repeat that.
She is.
Elected.
She's an elected official. And I'm sure she's just a wonderful mother and a patriot. Because her daughter, she does say, my children would be like, Mama, Mama, globe, globe. The globes are coming for me. The globes are trying to get me, Mother. Hide me from the globes, Mother. Now, on a completely separate subject but related, I have lost track of all the media reports of how both sides are to blame for the debt limit impasse. I liken it to fishing at a fish farm with dynamite. Just drop a stick in anywhere and you're going to blow a bunch of both sides fish out of the water. Turn on a radio at random, turn on television to a news station. You're going to hear people saying, you know, how the parties and the both sides and the parties and the both sides and Joe Biden needs to be more reasonable because the past doesn't exist and reality isn't real. This one really did piss me off because it's Wes Moore, who the 44-year-old Democratic governor of Maryland, who was on Morning Joe Thursday morning, blaming the debt ceiling on, quote, Washington, and insisting that, quote, we need to depoliticize the process and that, quote, the parties in Congress are the problem. If you are a democratically elected anybody anywhere, especially a governor with a platform, your job is not to blame both sides. That's the job of all the douchebags who want to destroy the Democratic Party. Your job is to stand up and say, the Republican Party put a gun to the head of the economy. They're trying to destroy this country, and they're trying to blackmail everyone into doing crazy shit. And that's the problem. The problem with this country is Republicans. But Wes Moore doesn't want to play that game. Wes Moore wants there to be no red states or blue states. He wants there to be purple states or whatever, which is why Joe Scarborough invited him as opposed to Norm Ornstein on the show.
Absolutely.
Because Norm Ornstein has taken the gloves completely off. Norm Ornstein told Kevin McCarthy to, quote, resign in disgrace, unquote. Now, Norm Ornstein has much deeper political knowledge and background and scholarly information about the GOP than Wes Moore, who might in other respects be a fine governor. I don't know. I don't live in Maryland. But they don't want to put a person on the air who's going to point to one party, the crazy party, and say, they're the problem. That's the problem. The Republicans are the problem because that's not how we do this anymore. I do have a provocative question for our listeners. And you know what? This all might be resolved by the time you hear this or by the time you think up an answer. So this
I don't think it's going to be resolved because the Republicans have gone on vacation.
Oh, that's right. They all left. They all went home. So
not going to be resolved until next week, if then.
So this is a hypothetical question, but I'm going to deprive you of one thing. No time machines. You don't get to go back 15 years and make everybody behave differently. You're in the situation right now. It's like quantum leap. You've leapt into Joe Biden's body right now. So what if this were you? If the GOP had a gun to the head of the global economy, and you know for a fact that they're definitely going to blow it all up if you don't give in to their demands, and you know for a fact the resulting chaos and destruction would be incalculable. What's more, you know for a fact that if you call their bluff and you say, fuck you, I'm not going to negotiate with terrorists, a third of the country will blame you for it. And another third will blame, you know, both sides, but pretty much blame you since you're the president. So you know going in that you cannot possibly win a post-apocalyptic spin war. And this will probably cost you and your party very dearly in 2024. So what do you do given that reality?
All right, I agree with you up until the point where you say you know going in that you cannot win the spin war.
That's
the
question.
I think Biden, Dark Brandon's very good at winning the spin war.
He is. I agree with that. But
it's entirely possible that he could win a spin war if he bails this out and makes it a non-story in 2 weeks.
Yeah. But what
if all of a sudden we do 14th Amendment or coin the $1 trillion, you know, coin made out of platinum or whatever, and he just fixes it. And yes, the right wing and you, as you've said, that bubble, that Fox News bubble, that Newsmax bubble, we just have to ignore them. You've given me that advice. Like, we cannot reach anyone in that bubble.
It's the tide.
30% of our country. Right. It's a tragedy, but that's where we're at.
Right.
And so you have to take that group that says both sides isn't going to be talking about this in 3 weeks. They're going to be on to something else.
Or if Republicans really do just hold out and refuse to budge and won't give an inch, the economy is going to collapse.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be both sides.
Well, that's
sides.
Why I say if you invoke the 14th Amendment and make the coin and pay the debts anyway and say we're not doing this ever again because there is now no longer any debt ceiling. No other country in the world has it and we're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you address do a big address to the nation. Here's where we're at.
Uh-huh.
We're the only country that does this. Here are the three times in the past 5 years when Republicans have ignored the debt ceiling and moved on.
Right.
And it's an unnecessary pain in the ass for the entire country. It doesn't mean unlimited spending. It has nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with our ability to pay our bills, and we need to pay our bills.
Well, let me make this a little harder then. You invoke the 14th Amendment. The Supreme Court says, nope. And you
if you make the coin, then I don't think they can say nope to the coin. But we'll have to test that in court. We'll have to test that in court. And then by that time, I hate to say it, but at the speed that the court's moving on anything, it's 2024. And so you've either won or lost at that point, and then you're screwed.
I'm gonna make it a little harder still, which is I'm gonna take away the coin, which they're never gonna make, and the 14th Amendment, which is never gonna pass. And say, you're stuck.
Well, it's not a pass thing. It's just invoke it as president. It's an executive order.
I understand that. I'm making this deliberately hard. I'm taking those off the table.
You're trying to tell me as a Democrat that, yes, we have to negotiate with Kevin McCarthy. Joe Biden knows that.
Uh-huh. No, what I'm saying
and
is...
And Joe Biden is giving him the least amount that he can give him.
In order to let
Kevin McCarthy save a little bit of face to be able to sign off on it, because Republicans do have the House. That's what happened in 2020.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking listeners to contemplate this. Because you and I have already had
this. I think you're having a straw man argument with our listeners. Our listeners understand this. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to ruin your part of the show. I'm just saying we all understand that Joe Biden is up against a wall because Kevin McCarthy is Speaker of the House.
Right.
And there is no magic wand beyond invoking the 14th Amendment. And actually, 231 Democratic House members are behind that. So there is, you know, there is legislative. My party told me to do this is a valid argument.
I'm speaking past this podcast to people who don't listen to this podcast. who are very active on Twitter.
I'm speaking to people who don't listen to this podcast.
That's right. So I'm perfectly safe. In that way, I am Ron DeSantis. I'm going to make static and modem noises now. But I'm referring to the very online liberals who are Democrats are pussies. Democrats are weak and they will never fight. Democrats won't fight. You need to fight. If you don't fight, then I'm going to give up and walk away, because Democrats are losers and they have just jelly spines, and they won't just say to Kevin McCarthy, I'm not going to negotiate, my way or the highway. And like, okay, what happens when the world blows up? Well, that's not my problem. Well, right. Okay. Yeah. What happens when everyone blames Democrats and you lose everything?
They're going to anyway.
Well, that's the point. The point being the people who are most adamant that just do it have no plan beyond that, have no conception of what it means to do that.
They're nihilists. They're nihilists. They're know-it-all nihilists. So you have to just ignore that. I mean, just like the Fox News bubble, I think you have to ignore that.
I agree.
Biden has to ignore that.
That's what I'm hoping. Biden.
Yeah.
That Biden, because every time these people don't get their way, it becomes Democrats are incompetent politically. And there's a lot of things they've done wrong up to this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I spoke to a person on the Twitter, and I'm not going to say who because I love him otherwise, but it's, you know, this kind of shaking fist at the Democrats for being pussies. And I'm like, you know what? I'm glad to hear that you're planning on primarying Joe Manchin in West Virginia.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Right.
You're not planning on doing that. Well, then when do we get our supermajority?
Well, that's why we didn't fix this last year.
Right.
It's because Manchin and Sinema didn't want to.
Yes. And that's
why. So we could have fixed it while we had both houses of Congress and just said, okay, clean debt ceiling. This is what Republicans did. This is what is so frustrating, right? Republicans said, no debt ceiling issue at all while Trump's president.
We're going to raise it
And we're in charge.
Every time.
We're done. We're not going to. Bring it up.
We're going to run up a $7 trillion tax bill and raise the debt ceiling. And we're just going to say, screw you. We're not even going to talk.
It's not an issue. One would. And it was never a headline.
Right.
Debt ceiling was never a headline while Trump was president.
Nope.
And of course, because Nancy Pelosi cares about the economy and cares about people having jobs, she went along with that because she went along with keeping the debt ceiling raised because it's a stupid thing.
Right. It's a button you never push.
Right. So Republicans are happy to do that. But Joe Manchin wasn't.
Right.
It's like this is the last chance. It's September of 2022. We're probably going to lose the House. We might lose the Senate. Let's make it easy for our president, Joe Biden, to not have a debt ceiling issue for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. And, as a brief aside to that, there was Mr. Bill Kristol on Twitter just rolling his eyes at centrist Joe Manchin being the fault of this, the problem, all this. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm going to dip into no fair remembering stuff territory here. I'm remembering like 2 years ago when all of the fucking Never Trumpers were chastising the Democrats for not being more like Joe Manchin.
Yeah,
Joe Manchin is an awesome man. Why are you so mad at Joe Manchin? Do you have plans? Joe Manchin's wonderful. He's what the Democratic Party should aspire to be.
He's what the Democratic Party needs. Yeah, that's right.
And that was like, Jesus Christ, Joe Manchin. And I wouldn't object to them having that opinion if anybody would just shake their shoulder and say, remember like 2 years ago when you were yelling at Democrats for not being more like Joe Manchin? And now you're saying, hey, maybe Joe Manchin is the problem. And can you reconcile that? Oh, I'm sorry. You don't talk to us. So no one ever asks you that question. So, you know, never mind. Anyway.
Let's move on to the letter from Donald Trump's attorneys.
Yes. That's the fun. Yeah.
The comedy portion of our show.
Yes.
Because Ketchup Thrower is writing to everyone he can think of to stop the classified document investigation. This week, it was this letter from Trump's lawyers, Trump's lawyers to Attorney General Merrick Garland. We represent Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States.
We represent the Lollipop Guild. Great.
In the investigation currently being conducted by the special counsel's office, boo hiss. Unlike President Biden, his son Hunter, and the Biden family, President Trump is being treated unfairly. No president of the United States has ever in the history of our country been baselessly investigated in such an outrageous and unlawful fashion. We request a meeting at your earliest convenience to discuss the ongoing injustice that is being perpetrated. Pop, pop, pop. To discuss the ongoing injustice that is being perpetrated by your special counsel and his prosecutors. Thank you for your attention to this matter. And we imagine that Merrick Garland's office treated the letter with the full April Ludgate respect it deserved.
Oh, excuse me. I had a meeting with Ron Swanson yesterday, but had a little car trouble.
Sorry, he's busy right now.
Oh, well, can I reschedule?
Sure. How about June 50th?
Sorry?
Do you think you could come back today at 2:65? He's available then.
What is going on?
Looks like the only other day he has open is March 11th. Does that work, sir?
And do you remember that just a month ago, Trump and his people wrote a 10-page letter to the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, begging them to take over and usurp the Justice Department to prevent them from proceeding with their investigation? Why? Because it's very unfair, Driftglass.
It's very unfair. It's false. Very unfair. I just imagine like Elwick writing this letter and just saying, sign it, just sign it to the lawyer. I'm in charge of you. I know, sign the letter. And a lawyer just looked at him like, I got to charge more for this. I got to charge a whole lot more for this. You know what?
Hey, Driftglass, let's do a news roundup.
Yeah, clear the palate. Let's do a news roundup. The U.S. COVID response could have avoided hundreds of thousands of deaths. According to Reuters, the United States squandered both money and lives in its response to the coronavirus pandemic, and it could have avoided nearly 400,000 deaths with a more effective health strategy and trimmed federal spending by hundreds of billions of dollars while still supporting those who needed it. This is
Trump. Mike Pence.
This is Pence. This is Trump. This is Jared. This is making governors fight over stuff. This is handing out special favors to your friends. This is lying about the numbers. The whole thing, all of it. Yep. Donald Trump and his cronies cost this country 400,000 lives. That makes him the biggest mass murderer in American history.
Yeah. Well, and we know from Governor Newsom of California that he said nothing against Trump during the pandemic when he was trying to get PPE because you didn't get it.
Because you didn't get it.
If you were on the enemies list.
Right. And it was literally Trump at his worst using life and death decisions to leverage people into saying nice things about him.
And, you know, if we're God willing, we're still doing this in 10 years. In 10 years, I think we could do a No Fair Remembering stuff on the COVID pandemic. God forbid there should not be another one between now and then. But it's too soon. I mean, it's just mentally too soon to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the graves are still being dug. It's just horrible. From the Daily Beast, Laura Ingraham has no clue why Vets Group made up a story that Fox ran wild with, including on her show.
You know what? You had me at Laura Ingraham has no clue.
Yeah. Just days before issuing a mild on-air correction, Laura Ingraham was touting the debunked story of homeless veterans being displaced by fraudulent asylees to rail against immigration, offering up a little update. We got a little update to this story on Friday night when no one's watching. Fox News host Laura Ingraham admitted that the story of homeless vets being displaced by migrants was a hoax, adding that she had no clue why a group would make up a story. Her network stoked days of outrage about this story a week after the New York Post, also owned by Rupert Murdoch. This is the thing that, okay. So, you know, it's a separate source, just like the Wall Street Journal is a separate source.
Totally separate. Totally separate source.
A week after the New York Post reported the sensational tale of 20 struggling homeless veterans getting booted from upstate New York hotels to make room for asylum-seeking migrants, the story fell apart. In reality, Sharon Tony Finch, the CEO of a veterans advocacy organization, had concocted the tall tale, and apparently even recruited men from a homeless shelter to pose as the displaced vets for the media. Well, she's CEO of a veterans advocacy organization. She's obviously fundraising off of hatred for immigrants.
Isn't this what they used to call on the right stolen valor?
Stolen valor.
Yeah.
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 Well, I guess that doesn't matter anymore. Hey, guess what? A Nazi tried to kill President Biden. Truck driver was detained by the Secret Service overnight after crashing into security barriers near the White House, and a Nazi flag was discovered inside the vehicle. Oh, no. How did that get there? The incident occurred around Lafayette Square, where the driver of a rented U-Haul box truck crashed into the security barriers and repeatedly tried to ram through. The driver was arrested at the scene and slapped with charges that include trespassing, destruction of federal property, and threatening to kill, kidnap, or inflict harm on the president, vice president, or a family member.
Yeah, that last charge is the big federal charge that's going to put him in prison for a very long time.
Yep.
Special counsel Jack Smith has struck gold, apparently, after obtaining the contemporaneous notes of a Trump attorney who counseled the ex-president on his possibly unlawful removal, retention, and refusal to return hundreds of classified documents from the White House.
Yeah.
There's breaking news on this story about every 5 minutes.
There is. I can't keep track of all of it. In the aggregate, though, it looks like just the dam has broken.
Yeah.
And it's all coming out. What happens next? No one knows. This next story is pretty awful and pretty typical, and it's going to get worse. So if you brace yourself for it, it's about abortion and about women being treated like chattel. ABC News reports that 8 Texas women have joined a lawsuit filed by the Center for Reproductive Rights, with all of the women alleging that Texas abortion ban put their lives in jeopardy. Among the plaintiffs in the case is a woman named Kirsten Hogan, who says that she was rushed to the hospital when her water broke prematurely, and who was told that she could not get an abortion legally until she became significantly ill, even though there was little chance of her baby being able to live outside the womb. What's more, Hogan says that she was threatened with arrest if she left the hospital to seek care elsewhere, and she was kept there until she gave birth to her stillborn son in a hospital bathroom. Another plaintiff in the lawsuit is a woman named Samantha Cassano, who says that she was forced to carry a non-viable pregnancy to term and whose daughter only lived for 4 hours after being born. What's more, ABC News adds, quote, "She could only afford a gravestone after a story was written about her and members of the public contributed to her fundraising website."
And I know you say this story is triggering. It is. It's terrible. But on the other hand, these women are fighting back.
They are, and bless them.
And not only is this a legal argument, but this is also, I'm going to say it bluntly, this is a propaganda argument, and we need to win the propaganda argument on this. They are choosing women who are women that wanted their pregnancies.
Yes. Yep.
And who had unpredictable pregnancy complications that happen on a regular basis in pregnancies. Mm-hmm. And it's a tragedy. And it's not anyone's fault. It's simply biology that causes this.
Mm-hmm.
And every woman of childbearing age and women who remember being of childbearing age can put themselves in that position, regardless of their feelings about abortion as a form of contraception.
Right.
And these, right-wing Christianist bastards are inserting themselves in these situations and killing women.
Yep.
Women who already have children and need their mommies. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is that kind of, we need to have that kind of propaganda pushed to change this.
Mm-hmm.
Hearts and minds, I'm telling you. Meanwhile, the South Carolina Senate passed a ban on abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy. This is before most women know they're pregnant. Many, many women do not know at 6 weeks. The legislation heads to Republican Governor Henry McMaster, who has said he'll sign it. A physician who knowingly violates the law would have their license revoked and could face felony charges, fines, and jail time. At least 25 states have restricted abortion access since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. These hospitals need to go on strike. These doctors need to leave the state.
Right.
These are people, surgeons who can afford to move. Surgeons can afford to move. Split. And we're seeing this in Florida already.
Yeah.
There's a huge brain drain in Florida.
Well,
and you're not going to be able to have surgery in these states because of this assholery.
Plenty of room in Illinois. Lots of housing.
Come on up.
Lovely homes. Very inexpensive. We have an entire medical center, a medical district
in Springfield. Yep.
Sprawling, beautiful, state of the art. They'll hire you in a minute. And you won't have to put up with this bullshit because we have a Democratic majority and a liberal governor. A Florida elementary school restricted access to the poem recited at Biden's 2020 presidential inauguration after a single parent complaint. Amanda Gorman, the youngest inaugural poet in U.S. history, said she was gutted that her poem, "The Hill We Climb," was moved to the library's middle school section, which is for grades 6 through 8. A review committee at a Miami-Dade K-8 public school, however, determined the poem and 3 other titles, The ABCs of Black History, Cuban Kids, and Love to Langston, were better suited for middle school students after just one parent complained that the titles included inappropriate topics and were meant to, quote, cause confusion and indoctrinate students.
And the follow-up to that story is the Florida parent who got Amanda Gorman's poem banned is a big Proud Boys supporter, who also now says she's sorry for promoting the protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Oops. You know, that happens all the
feeling,
time.
I have a feeling she's being paid by the Mothers for Liberty, too.
Yeah.
Because here's what the Jewish Telegraphic Service says. Months before, a Miami-area mother persuaded a local school to restrict access to an Amanda Gorman poem. She was posting anti-Semitic memes on her Facebook page. Now, Daily Salinas is apologizing for one of those things and unrepentant about the other. I want to apologize to the Jewish community, Salinas told the Jewish Telegraphic Agency on Wednesday, saying she was sorry for a Facebook post she shared in March, offering a summary of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, a notorious anti-Semitic forgery written more than a century ago in Russia. I'm not what that post says, Salinas said. I love the Jewish community. Salinas said her aversion to communism stems from her Cuban identity. She added that English is not her first language. I see the word communism, and I think it's something about communism, she said. I didn't read the words. She said she only read parts of the books. They have to read for me because I'm not an expert, she said. I'm not a reader. I'm not a book person. I'm a mom involved in my children's education. Yeah.
I'm not a reader. I'm not a book person. I don't understand the words in front of me. And I think I should have the right to ban books from schools based on my say-so, where my children go and where I'm deeply involved in my children's education. No, you're trying to keep your kid ignorant, like you are. You're trying to keep your kid as dumb and as uninformed as you are. And you're threatened by the fact that your child might read things that you don't understand or that you
might read the word communism and think it's a good thing.
You know, because reading the word communism turns people into communists because.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why reading the Bible turns everyone into a Christian. Didn't you know that? Yeah, it's magic. It's magic. That's why it's a magic.
I think they picked the wrong person to pay to do this. That's all.
I know. I think, I saw her picture of her and her husband on social media. And yeah, they picked a couple of real useful idiots And now she's like, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about anything. I just do stuff and say things.
I just care about my kids. That's all.
I love my children.
Harlan, the school bends over. You think the thing is the authorities in the school system just bend over because they don't want the controversy. They want it to go away.
So one parent.
And there's a whole lot of parents that are showing up for the next school board meeting to let them know how they feel about that. Yeah. And that's the good news. Again, we're fighting back.
And this filth is what Ron DeSantis is running on. He's not running away from this. This is his campaign. No. This is what he wants for America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Harlan Crow, the Texas billionaire Republican megadonor with close ties, some say an ownership stake in Clarence Thomas, refused to answer questions from the Senate Judiciary Committee about gifts to the Supreme Court justice. Harlan Crow told Chairman Dick Durbin, a close neighbor of ours, that the Senate Judiciary Committee did not have, quote, the authority to investigate Mr. Crow's personal friendship with Justice Clarence Thomas. Don't you know who I am? In response, Durbin said Crow, quote, did not provide a credible justification for refusing to cooperate, saying Harlan Crow believes the secrecy of his lavish gifts to Justice Thomas is more important than the reputation of the highest court of law in this land.
From Wonkette, the House Ethics Committee, which is now led by Republicans, has dropped its 2-year investigation into Eric Swalwell on account of, and this is Wonkette saying, nothing fucking there. In a letter to Swalwell dated Monday, the committee said it will take no further action in the probe that began in April 2021 into, quote, allegations raised in the complaint that you have violated House rules, laws, or other standards of conduct in connection with your interactions with Ms. Christine Fang, the suspected Chinese spy. In his statement responding to total exoneration, Swalwell simply said that he said all along, that when these suspicions about a campaign volunteer were brought to his attention 10 years ago, he did everything he could to help law enforcement, and that nobody, including Republican speakers John Boehner and Paul Ryan, had ever questioned it. implied until it was politically expedient for clowns running interference for a president who actually was compromised. And here's the punchline. Fox News' headline on this story. Ethics Committee warns Swalwell as investigation into interactions with Chinese woman closes.
Uh-huh. And that's all your crazy Uncle Liberty is ever going to know about this story.
Yeah.
E. Jean Carroll is seeking very substantial monetary damages of no less than $10 million from Trump in response to his insults made about her at a CNN town hall meeting. A day after Carroll won her $5 million sexual abuse and defamation case against him, Trump appeared on CNN and, quote, falsely stated that he did not sexually abuse Carroll, that he has no idea who Carroll was, and that Carroll's now proven accusation was a fake and a made-up story created by a, quote, whack job. Yeah.
You just had to pay $5 million for defamation, and so you go out and call her a whack job on television.
You know, if you're him, you have to be the alpha. You have to be the biggest, meanest, craziest son of a bitch, because that's what your base is paying for. So you say, fuck you. I could burn $10 million tomorrow and $20 million the next day. It doesn't matter to me one goddamn bit. And that's how he keeps these people in line. And this is an investment. This is a campaign investment.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing, the amended lawsuit said Trump doubled down on his derogatory remarks about Carroll, quote, undeterred by the jury's verdict, persisted in maliciously defaming Carroll yet again at the CNN event. Quote, it's hard to imagine defamatory conduct that could possibly be more motivated by hatred, ill will, or spite, Carroll's lawyers said.
A further scoop about Fox News going all the way to Naperville. This is local news.
Local news,
baby.
Local
news. To interview people about the Chicago election from Jim Daly, the digital news editor of The Tribe and previously news editor of the Chicago Reader. Fox and Friends staged the Naperville interview criticizing Brandon Johnson. The correspondent Gianno Caldwell presented the segment as a spontaneous interview about Johnson being sworn in as mayor. We just came to this local diner to ask people about Mayor Johnson.
Yeah, of Chicago.
Except, yes.
In a Naperville diner.
Yeah, Naperville. It's not Chicago. The two black men in the diner didn't just happen to be at the Naperville diner. And everybody could have told you that.
Yes.
Both men told The Tribe they were invited to appear on the segment by Caldwell, but that Caldwell told them the interview would be about violence, not Mayor Johnson.
Huh?
One of the men, Lavendale Big Dale Glass, is an assistant director of violence prevention for Project Hood, a nonprofit whose founder endorsed Johnson's opponent, Paul Vallis. The other man, Andre Smith, was paid more than $10,000 by Vallis' campaign committee and told The Tribe he ran field operations for the Paul Vallis campaign. So, you know, these were Vallis people or people associated with an organization that whose head endorsed Vallis.
Mm-hmm.
And they were brought on Fox at this non-local diner.
This out-of-town diner to talk smack about the new mayor. And, you know, none of this could have been known by anyone, Blue Gal. This was all a big mystery. This was, you know, the interviewer, Gianno Caldwell, couldn't have possibly known the background of these men. This is just a put-up job. This is just straight propaganda.
Straight up theater.
We tricked these two Vallis supporters or people who worked for a guy who endorsed Vallis or was paid by the Vallis campaign to a diner way the hell outside Chicago on a pretense, and then started asking him questions about, you know, what do you think of the new mayor? Isn't he terrible? And that became a Fox News story. And it is so amateur and dumb and laughable. I mean, just putting
them with the people that are inside the bubble that turn on Fox and Friends first thing in the morning and leave it on all day.
Herman, you were right about that new
Even
mayor.
Even black men in Naperville know that this new black mayor, Chicago, terrible.
Yeah.
You can't even walk outside your house.
It's just
And
terrible.
The whole shut the fuck up about Chicago t-shirts and buttons are now a big thing.
The next day. Yeah. It was merch everywhere. Shut the fuck up about Chicago. I got to get me one of those, except no t-shirt company makes t-shirts of my size. Very
not,
sad.
Not part long of, enough for you.
It's part of the big t-shirt conspiracy. I have a lot of theories about that. T-shirts everywhere. T-shirts. They say, mama, mama, the t-shirts, they are everywhere. What's with all the t-shirts? And I say, I'm not your mother. I'm a podcaster, but I take your point because there is a t-shirt conspiracy and I have a lot of theories about it. And you should listen to me because I'm crazy.
And unless Driftglass is going to wear a crop top.
Yeah, no.
None of the t-shirts out there are long enough for him. So, yeah, it's true. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Bart and his canine sister, Rowan. Bart and Rowan may be a cat and a dog, but they have remarkably similar coloring. And in this picture, Bart is wondering why Rowan gets the cushion and the sunny sunspot at the same time. That should only be for cats.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
And of course, Bart and Rowan eat freshly poured pet food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve Pet Store Perfection or Dollar Store Dreck, your pets will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured. Freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Bart and Rowan and their sunny sunspot at our Facebook page or website. And you can send your internet kitty dog or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write to us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions. Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. We hope you're enjoying our show. We wanted to say that. And as you know, we're an independent podcast and rely on the support of our listeners to keep the show going. If you are the kind of person who supports local independent businesses, here we are. 20% of our podcast donations go to our health insurance and deductibles. When we say we can't do this podcast without your help, that's what we mean. So if you appreciate the work we do here at the Professional Left Podcast, we hope you'll consider making a donation. Every little bit helps, and we're grateful for your support. To make a donation, simply visit paypal.me/proleftpodcast or donate in other ways like Patreon by going to our website, proleftpod.com. We've got all the links there for those things. Please share our show on social media. And if you love this podcast, please get someone else to listen to. And thank you so much for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the internet kitties are extremely disappointed that Putin didn't put them on the Russian travel ban list.
Oh, no.
I know. Bosco is from Moscow. I don't know if you know
Bosco, that. He's not from Moscow. He went to Costco to get some food. That's his song. At our house.
Every cat in our house has a song.
Every cat in our house. I should put out an album.
You really should.
All right, everybody, have a great week. Love you.
Love you. Have a great Memorial Day. Bye.
Bye.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2023 DGBG Productions.